Thanks for tuning into our hump show. We are literally middle of our work week. So two shows and 2 hours in. We've got 2 hours and two shows yet to go. We're a half hour away from Ask Amy Anything. So you can find our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, and send your questions. You can also find our Facebook page named after the show. Super easy. Any type of Googling After Hours CBS definitely will get you where you need to go. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. They found a better way to mortgage so you can focus on making your new house a home. That's Rocket Mortgage. Push button. Get mortgage. Can I just tell you, I was all excited to talk about World Series Game 1, which we did during the first hour. I was really excited to look at the bling on opening night in the NBA. Steve Ballmer already in rare form. Kawhi Leonard with a huge game. Anthony Davis, LeBron James are all on the same court together. We've got the latest on Zion Williamson, though he is out. We've got rings. We've got banners. For heaven's sakes, we got trades in the NFL. Wide receivers going from conference to conference in two cases. A starting safety for the Lions going to Seattle. I mean, we've even got the Jets ticked off that their franchise quarterback was exposed and outed on national TV. And yet, almost every single one of our phone calls and the tweets that I'm getting revolve around the Astros assistant general manager, Brandon Taubman, who was yelling at a group of reporters some offensive, disrespectful, and extremely unprofessional language that he used. And if you know the backstory, it wasn't an accident that he was yelling at this group of women. It also wasn't an accident that he happened to be yelling about Roberto Osuna. It's not an accident that the Astros are trying to do damage control even in the wake of World Series Game 1. None of that is an accident. It's not an accident that MLB is now investigating as well. And I know you want to talk about it, so I've decided we will keep taking your phone calls. I'm going to not stick to my agenda and keep hearing what you have to say. 855-212-4227. The only thing I ever ask is that our dialogue is respectful, right? So just like these reporters were at their place of, were doing their work in a place of business. It's a mobile office, to be sure. You have to go where the story is. This is my place of business, and I just want you to be able to have a conversation without being obnoxious. Twitter is where people are obnoxious. Oh, heavens, the tweets I'm getting. The mute button on Twitter, it's undefeated. 855-212-4227, A-Law Radio, or on our Facebook page. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Alan is listening in St. Louis. Alan, welcome to the show.
Well, good morning, Amy. How are you?
I'm great, thank you.
You know, the nice thing about being a talk show host is all the subjects that you mentioned that you can't talk about, you know, your show is full. If people stop talking about Taubman, you got other things to talk about.
So I mean, there's always something to talk about in sports, sir, always.
That's right. Your hours are always full. I'm getting to this Taubman thing. Several points. I've been covering sports since I was 18 years old. I'm 60 now.
Wow.
The first thing I hate is the so-called written apology. I've seen too many of these written apologies. They're canned apologies. You don't really know whether these are the words of the person that is apologizing or whether these words came from the PR department. If I want to see an apology, you let the person stand in front of a camera, no written statement. Let him say his words, then maybe, just maybe, I'll believe it.
Good point.
Second point. What'd you say?
I said good point, sir.
Second point, Ozuna gave up, I believe he gave up the tying run.
Yes.
In this game. Altuve was the hero of this game. So it's obvious this assistant general manager went out of his way because Ozuna's name really should have been mentioned at that point of the celebration because he wasn't a hero of the game. This guy, and I said, I haven't seen the video, but I'm sure that he was looking directly at these women when he said that. And I understand that one of these women, every time Ozuna would come in to pitch, she would tweet out a domestic violence hotline number on her Twitter account, not the Houston Astros. So that was her right to do that.
Her prerogative, yes.
So it's obvious that this guy had this anger or whatever built up inside of him, and he found the perfect opportunity to lash out at this woman and the other women in the room. And I'm not gonna say without thinking. I think he did think about it. I'm not gonna give the excuse. Oh, he got caught up in excitement. He got caught up in the celebration.
Really?
This guy knew exactly what he was doing, and I'll take that to my grave. I'm not saying that he got caught up in the moment. And as far as the Houston Astros are concerned, Amy, I will never understand. You've got a multi-billion-dollar entity. You've got teams of lawyers, PR people. Was there not one person in that room that could have said, let's not release this statement yet? Yeah. He would have been better off not saying anything. Or if you're going to release a statement saying, we're investigating. Mm. Really, we're investigating the situation. We understand what happened or what allegedly happened. And when we get more information, we'll make another statement. Mm. No, they want to try to get in front of the story and try to defend this guy. And like you said, Amy, it was a room full of reporters.
Seriously.
I mean, a room full of reporters. You think that if this woman hadn't said anything, you think that one of those other reporters may have not said anything? So, you know, this was epic fail all around. And for some of the callers that want to try to defend these people, Amy, I hate to say it, I'm not surprised. And let's face it, I think there are still a group of people out there who have trouble with women covering a man's sports. Now, I can't say for sure.
Oh, trust me, Alan. I got that angle covered, yes. In fact, I've already been called a feminist for talking about this story.
Well, I guess, you know, considering the way I was born, I can't be called a feminist. But I tell you, I support everything you do. And let's face it, I am glad that you are taking the time for your show to have us to give this dialogue. And let's face it, it's okay disagreeing with you.
Yeah, of course.
That's what your show is about.
That's fine.
Like you said, you're going to be respectful and don't be ridiculous. My father had a talk show here in St. Louis.
Oh, yeah?
For 25 years. It wasn't sports. But his thing was, you can disagree with me as long as you don't get personal or disrespectful.
There you go. Exactly. I don't care if you disagree with me. Life is boring if we all agree, but for heaven's sakes, you're going to disagree. Just be respectful. That's the only thing that I ask. Alan, thank you so much for your phone call. It was good to talk to you.
Great, Amy. Thanks a lot.
The initial statement from the Astros, in case you're wondering, said that our executive was supporting the player during a difficult time. His comments had everything to do about the game situation that just occurred and nothing else. They were also not directed toward any specific reporters. Well, that's all been proven to be inaccurate now. And unless I have missed it, there hasn't been a follow-up statement. MLB has commented, Brandon Taubman has released an apology via statement, and AJ Hinch spoke out and said he was disappointed and that reporters, nobody, he didn't say reporters specifically, said nobody should be uncomfortable or disrespected in our clubhouse. But I don't believe that the Astros have recanted that statement or have released a different statement. That's still out there. They claim the report was misleading and completely irresponsible. Also, this is not a male-female issue, just so you know. I'm quite positive. I could go back and look if you want, but I don't think I need to. Quite positive there were men who wrote about the Astros bringing Ozuna on board as well and criticized that decision. I mean, that's business, right? I'm not making light of domestic violence. You all know me better than that. I think it's a bad example and precedent when people who are accused of crimes, who only don't have charges and cases stand against them because the alleged victims move to other countries or disappear. I think it's unfortunate that they're rewarded with jobs, new jobs, fresh starts right away. Again, I think that sets a bad precedent. It happens in sports because athletes are talented. But the Astros knew all that. They were willing to deal with the backlash and the fallout. They, I'm sure, did a risk-reward analysis, realized they could get Osuna cheap because, for instance, the Dodgers had backed out. The Dodgers were about to acquire him in a trade with the Blue Jays. They heard about the allegations, and they said, no way. So the Astros knew they could get him for cheap, and they were willing to deal with the backlash. Except they didn't really like the backlash. I mean, it was their choice. They were well within their rights to sign Osuna. It didn't violate any rules in Major League Baseball. He had served his punishment. And no, the Mike Vick situation is not exactly the same. But the Eagles knew when they signed him that there was going to be backlash. And they decided that they were okay with dealing with it. They decided that they would rather take that step and deal with the criticism and the backlash than not. I mean, we've certainly got multiple situations in sports all over the place where franchises are willing to take that risk. Sometimes it backfires royally in their faces, and sometimes it doesn't. But for an assistant general manager to take this mantle upon himself and decide that this was the right for him to scream and yell about how they were so vindicated, as if them winning game 6 of the ALCS is redemption for Osuna. It validates the Astros' decision to trade for him. I mean, come on. You don't get to control the narrative, number one. Number two, as Alan from St. Louis mentioned, he actually was the one who gave up the game-tying home run. So Taubman turned this into a story when it did not need to be. He's the reason that we're talking about it, not the female reporters. 855-212-4227. We'll continue with your comments, or you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. I'm sorry, I have laughed at some of your comments before I've muted you. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Here's the wind of the pitch. Swing and a drive hit well. Deep center field. Way back goes Springer to the warning track. Looking up, and it is gone. Goodbye. Bang. Zoom goes the Z-Man to the deepest part of Minute Maid Park, just to the left of the batter's eye in center field.
I'll be honest with you. My eyes got a little watery for him. I mean, he waited a long time, you know, to be in this position. And for him to hit that first home run and put us on the board was awesome.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
No one may care, but that was my favorite moment from the opener of the World Series. Nationals win 5-4, but Ryan Zimmerman at 35 years old, the original Nat, who has already survived so many injuries, including plantar fasciitis this year, missed a lot of time, a lot of years of disappointment. His first World Series at bat, and he slams a solo home run. Really cool. And Davey Martinez said, I got teary-eyed for him. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Charlie Slows on the Nationals Radio Network. So the Nats, in their first World Series appearance, steal away home field advantage from the Astros. It's After Hours, and you can find me on Twitter or Facebook. If you want to send your questions for Ask Amy Anything, that is coming up, so we do not deviate from that. But we'll squeeze in a few more calls here. I got to be honest, I'm stunned at how many of you want to talk about this Astro situation from the clubhouse on Saturday night. I talked about it on my last show, and I got a couple of tweets, but nobody called about it. So it's interesting that all of a sudden, you're wanting to weigh in, but that's fine. I'm glad that you're listening. Thank you for that. David is in Iowa. Welcome to After Hours.
Hello,
David. You're up.
Hey, thanks a lot. Thanks for taking my call. I have to beat on a dead horse, but ultimately, I mean, my biggest thing with this is I think the country is just so torn with all the everything going on in politics and people not saying the right thing and people being, you know, being considered offensive or insensitive. But the reason I'm calling is, and I'm just learning about this incident with Brendan Taubman tonight, about an hour ago when I tuned in. My biggest question, I've heard either you or another caller reference Taubman going after the group of ladies or the reporters. Mm-hmm. And I'm just wondering, are you able to clarify? Because to me, it makes some difference. If he's sitting, you know, across the room and he's making stupid remarks, and you know what? Taubman's being a jerk. He's being an a-hole. But if he's going after them, he's closing distance, making a scene, you know, getting in their face, physically intimidating them, then to me, that's, you're done. Houston's got to get rid of them. So do you know, is there any more details on that, or do you?
Well, he did not physically assault them or physically commit battery, if that's what you're asking. According to their reports, and again, these reports have been corroborated by others who were there. It's not just their word against his. They were in a group. They were working. They weren't paying any attention to Brendan Taubman. And all of a sudden, he turns to them and starts shouting at them. And initially, they didn't know why he was. They didn't even understand what he was saying because it was so loud in there. But he kept repeating his comments and shouting at them over whatever distance it was. I don't know specifically. But Osuna was nowhere to be found. So it's not like he was part of the conversation. And Taubman made a point to yell this specifically at this group. So of that, there is no controversy at all. Was there any physical assault? No. Obviously, that would be a fireable offense on the spot. But he did target them specifically, and he was yelling loud enough for a lot of people to hear him.
Okay. Yeah, and either circumstance is not acceptable. One, like you said, is fireable. You're gone right now. But the other incident, like another caller said, has this guy not had? How do you get to that level of management and not have some PR knowledge that you are not speaking on behalf of Taubman, you're speaking on behalf of Houston, and what you say is going to be coming from Houston? And to me, it's dumb. On the other hand, and I'm sure you probably deal with this as well, I deal with people that are jerks and a-holes all the time, professionally and personally, and I don't always raise an issue. Sometimes I think we're oversensitive about words that are used or whatever, but in this case, I mean, it's dumb. You're obviously going to be on the news when you're not saying it in a private place and you're saying it in a forum that should be considered coming from your employer, your Houston. You know, you're speaking on behalf of Houston, especially, like you said before, as a GM, you know, as a spokesman of the club.
I mean, you are one of the bosses of the franchise. So, it's up to each individual if they think these reporters were being oversensitive. I just don't know why it would be their responsibility to protect the organization. I mean, they have a job to do too, if nothing else. Let's just say, for the sake of argument, David, all they were looking for was clickbait. Well, he still walked right into that and created this situation himself, even if their motives have nothing to do, you know, with the actual situation at hand, and everything to do with increasing their follows on Twitter. And I'm being facetious, of course, but it's not their responsibility to protect this guy. As you say, he did it in a room full of people. So if they don't tell the story, I'm damn sure somebody else is going to.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
All right, David, I appreciate your phone call. Let's talk to Isaac, who's in California. Welcome to After Hours. Isaac.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm good.
Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to point out something else that the Astros did. September 3rd, 2018, they had a fan at their park with the National Hotline for Domestic Violence assigned, and it was towards Robert Osuna. And they kicked this fan out. And I just wanted to point out how they keep on defending this guy. And it makes no sense how these guys keep on getting second chances in sports after, I mean, there's a video of the guy beating up his ex-fiance or wife or whatever it was. But, like, why don't these managers put themselves in the shoes of not the guy Osuna, but of the victim?
Mm.
I mean, like, they're being so narrow-minded and not thinking of the bigger picture, not winning the World Series, but there's someone that was assaulted, and they're ignoring this so their fans and themselves could get glory for winning a championship. And I just don't see the point in that. I mean,
yeah, I mean, there, as you know, as you've pointed out, in sports there are franchises who are willing to deal with the backlash and are willing to overlook whatever grievances there are for the sake of winning. And it does certainly become very evident, right, when the Astros have gone great length, as you say, to protect this guy from whatever backlash there might be. And so it kind of brings into focus exactly what their priorities are. I mean, they can't say that their priorities are awareness of domestic violence. They can't say their priorities are protecting victims or speaking out on behalf of those who can't speak out for themselves. I mean, they've made it pretty clear that they're all about the winning, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, just for them to kick that fan out, and then, like one of your last callers said, someone had tweets out the national hotline every time he goes up to bat. I mean, they're literally protecting this guy from any kind of backlash from the media. I mean, it doesn't happen with almost any other player. So, I mean, they need to be a little more transparent like the rest of the league and just let it happen.
I mean, that fan wasn't a member of the media. So, yeah, it's definitely true that they're trying to squash the conversation. Unfortunately, now there's no way to do it because someone who's very high up in their food chain is the one who brought this all up. I mean, this wasn't a reporter who started it. It was Brandon Taubman on his own. Isaac, I appreciate your phone call from California. Thanks so much.
Thanks for taking it. Thank you. Have a good day.
You too. 855-212-4227. We're going to squeeze in one more. Dennis is in Detroit. Dennis, you just got about 60 seconds. Go ahead.
Real quick, I just wanted to say, I just had a question. Like, for you being on a person in the media, you know, I just think it's a bit of a double standard. I know you get to go to the locker room, but I just think women shouldn't be able to go into the men's locker room. That's just my opinion about it.
Can you explain why?
I mean, because can men go into the women locker rooms?
Yes.
During that time?
Yes, absolutely. When the locker room is open, it's not gender specific. Women play in the WNBA. You've got you've got specific rules about when reporters can be there and when reporters cannot. And when the locker room is open, these are not team rules. These are league rules. MLB, NBA, NFL, NHL. When the locker rooms or clubhouses are open, they're accessible to reporters. And that's the same for every sport. You can't honestly believe that only men should be covering men's sports, Dennis. And if you don't understand why I say that, how could women be kept out of a men's locker room or clubhouse and still be expected to do her job as a reporter?
I didn't say cover the team. I said specifically in the locker room. It's just something to be sacred in sports. And I think the locker room is one of those spots where you could interview a guy once after he gets dressed, or a female for that matter. That's just like you come to work every day. You say it's a work environment. That's their work environment.
Exactly. They're working. They're professionals. They're not just hanging out in their locker room. And when they are, the locker room or clubhouse is closed. When the locker room or clubhouse is open, they are expected to be professionals.
Yeah, but during the celebration, things are going to be said. I just think
what happened? Taubman just was just screaming and yelling because that's what he normally does in a locker room celebration.
Yeah. I mean, that's what it seemed like to me. They were celebrating. I'm sure the booze was flowing. I'm sure they was having a good time.
And this is what he normally yells in the middle of a celebration. I'm so glad we got Osuna. I'm so effing glad we got Osuna. That doesn't sound like anything that's out of the ordinary.
Yeah, but if you had a couple of drinks and that's how you feel. You know what I'm saying? I think that's just how he was feeling at the time.
Yeah, and he's a professional who represents the organization and should have known better.
I get what you're saying. I totally agree that he should be professional. But in that setting, like if he said it at the press conference, it's one thing. In the locker room, I just think it's just some things is just sacred. The locker room.
Except the locker room was full of reporters and TV cameras and people writing and recording pretty much everything that's happening.
Yeah, okay. I mean, and that's why it's getting out, I guess. You know what I'm saying? Because it's nothing sacred in sports anymore. You know, I don't know. It's just like some things should just be left alone.
Well, if something should be left alone, then what you're saying is that no one should ever see a locker room celebration. Because if the reporters and the cameras and the microphones aren't in there, then fans would never see it either.
Yeah, that's their time to celebrate. I mean, if they want to celebrate on the field, when they're on the field, on the court, whatever, that's fine. When they're on the court, that's what for the fans. When they get to the locker room, that's for the team.
Okay, you know, well, unfortunately, Dennis, the leagues do not agree with you. Again, this is not a Astros rule. This is MLB, NHL, NFL. They're trying to make – they obviously want the reporters and the media to be able to do their jobs too, and so this is part of it. These are the rules.
Yeah. I just disagree, I guess.
All right.
Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome, Dennis. Have a great day. 855-212-4227. I mean, I've heard it before. Whether or not you agree that there should be the opposite gender in a particular locker room, these are the rules that the leagues have. And you can't very well say for a women's sport, only females can be in the locker room. You can't very well say for a men's sport, only men can be in the locker room. A, that's ridiculous. And B, you then are restricting the ability of the opposite gender to do their jobs. Yes, there are press conferences where some of the players are made available. But for those of you who don't know, there are back entrances to clubhouses and locker rooms. And if you're not in there and you're doing a particular story, some of these players will not come out. You have to go in and talk to them where they are. So that's why the leagues make the locker rooms and clubhouses open for a certain period of time. They're also closed for a good portion of the time. During games, right after games, before games. I mean, there's only certain times when reporters can be in there. For the most part, these clubhouses and locker rooms are, in fact, the place where players can let their guard down and unwind. But the media has to be able to do its job as well. And this is how we get access. Again, many of these players won't come out. If you don't go in, you're not going to be able to talk to them.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Time to ask Amy anything. Sort of.
Hit me with your best shot.
Thank you so much for tuning in. I know I went way long with our last segment because I was talking to a couple of you who are on the phones. A lot of you are finding me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. I don't know how much more time we'll have. Certainly not this hour to take your phone calls. I'll do my best to work them in next hour. But as always, you can find us on social media. And thank you for your questions here on After Hours, CBS Sports Radio. Chris.
All right. We will start with Big Jim, who wants to know, what is the most you ever shelled out for a concert ticket, and who'd you go see?
I think that would definitely be Billy Joel. Twice I shelled out 150-ish. I think pretty close. Probably more than that once you factor in the fees and stuff. So yeah, probably around 175 to go see Billy Joel at Madison Square Garden, but it was absolutely worth it. Twice.
Do we have a favorite Billy Joel song?
Oh, my gosh. I have so many. But You May Be Right, I May Be Crazy. That one applies to me. Faux show.
And maybe some of our callers tonight as well. Ooh.
I didn't say it.
Well, I'm back here screening them, so some of the ones that didn't get through, you know? We'll go to Pete next, who says, Amy, what was your jackpot candy when you used to go trick-or-treating? What was the one you looked forward to the most?
Oh, that's a good question, my jackpot candy. Well, I love Nerds. I don't even know if people know what Nerds are anymore, but I love the little Nerds candy. And gummy bears were always my favorites. You don't often get gummy bears, but every now and then, Swedish fish. I like gummy candy, so those were my favorites. But as I have told you guys, probably off the air, I don't think I mentioned it on the air, still the most popular Halloween candy is Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, and those were always considered a score.
Frank has a marathon question. We haven't had one of those
in a what?
A marathon question?
For me?
Yes.
Why?
I guess because he's a listener to the show, and he knows that you've done running in the past.
Half marathons.
Well, he's doing a full one, but he still wants your advice.
Oh, my gosh.
He says, I'm training for my first ever full marathon for 2020. My question is, how many times a week should I run, and what is a good time per mile to shoot for?
What? I mean, I have no idea. I don't know how he runs. I'm a slow runner, so if I do a 10-minute mile, between a 9 and 10-minute mile, I'm happy. If I do the entire half marathon without stopping, also, I don't run more than 2 days a week. I cross-train and do other activities and yoga, riding a bike, but I can't run more than 2 days a week because my body would be too sore. So I not knowing anything about him or his history or how old he is or what kind of shape he's in, I have no idea. But here, I will say this. Don't push your body too far. Listen to your body, because if your body starts to hurt and it's not a normal sore, then something's wrong and you don't want to push it.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but when you're doing any sort of marathon training, half or full, don't you only run ever up to a certain percentage of the amount you're going to run during race day?
Well, they tell you for a half marathon, I don't know about a full marathon, but for a half marathon, if you can run 10, you can run 13 because your body will have been trained to the point where the adrenaline will just kick in, but also just your muscles are trained by that point. So I've never done a training run that's a full 13. I've done a training run that's 11 before, and so that's kind of my deal. But I also don't overtrain because I can't. I'm not a person who can run every single day. I have friends who do it, and I just, my body would never hold up. So do what doesn't stress out your poor body. That's my advice.
Ben has a question about the biz, so we'll get his question in. He wants to know, do you like this time of year when all the major sports overlap, or do you prefer one at a time?
No. I mean, I like this time of the year for what it is. It's a short burst where all four major professional sports are in season. It's a lot. I mean, I just said to producer Chris when I left my house in a text, I'm slightly overwhelmed with everything on my plate today. And so it's a lot. There's really no breaks in October, but it's for a short few weeks and then it's over. But also we have a ton of extra listeners. We have a lot of people who tune in this time of the year specifically because of everything that happens in October. So I love it. Now, would I want it to be year round? No. October is a unique month. It is the busiest month of the year. And then in addition to that, you've got April and May, which are also really busy. If I was required to work as many hours the other months of the year, meaning like watch as many events and spend as many hours prepping, I don't think I would be in this business much longer. It requires a lot. So, yeah, I mean, it's kind of like these are sprints. The month of October is a sprint. You sprint through it and then you rest.
David has a question that I find particularly interesting here. I think you're going to like this one.
Oh,
he says,
okay.
Amy, I fear being stuck in an elevator full of people for several hours. What are some things that you're afraid of?
Being stuck in an elevator with a bunch of people for several hours. Is that what he said?
That's how we started.
I wonder if that's ever happened to him. That's actually never happened to me. But I did a minor freak out yesterday morning when I was leaving and the elevator doors didn't open up right away. So I got down to the lower level, the lobby, and I just stood there and the doors didn't open. So I had to press the button for the door to open, which doesn't normally happen. What's my biggest fear? Is that what he's asking? Huh? Gosh, spiders. Spiders are my biggest fear. I am definitely afraid of spiders. I'd rather deal with a snake than a spider. I'm not afraid of flying, but there's always a moment when we start to take off down the runway and I think, this is a gigantic metal tube. It's really heavy. How does this thing get into the air? And so I have to force myself not to think about it because I know the physics and all that jazz, but it just defies logic. So when you think about it. So yeah, I mean, flying over an ocean, flying over a sea, those are things I don't think about too often. Maybe driving over a bridge and having it collapse underneath you. And you asked.
Oh, and like driving in the tunnel and it The walls are.
Oh, stop! Yes, I have to go through a tunnel every single morning, so stop it. And it's a tunnel that's, what, two and a half miles long?
It takes forever on the bus every single night. It is awful. And for those who don't know, for those listening at home, we got our elevator system, quote unquote, upgraded a few months ago.
It's so slow.
And every single time you get in that bad boy, it feels like it's going to stop.
Not just that, but it takes forever. They're no longer quick. It takes a good 3 minutes to get into the elevator, go 10 floors, and get out again. I mean, it's archaic.
The only good thing about them is they put these screens inside of them that have little fun facts that we sometimes talk about on the air that are actually kind of interesting. We'll go to Johnny next. He says, hi, Amy. When was the last time you participated in a slow dance?
Gosh, I can't remember. Is that sad? I guess you can make fun of me if you want. I guess at a wedding, I went to but it would have been a long time ago. So, yeah, no, it's been probably 10 years.
Do you prefer slow dance? Like, if you go to a wedding, do you prefer, like, a slow dance or get in the middle and
part? I just, like, get it. Well, I mean, I think dancing is more fun in a big group when you're just kind of all letting loose and acting like idiots. Meaning, like, nobody's a professional dancer except for those people on Dancing with the Stars. So it's more fun to make people laugh, I think.
Can you do either the Cotton Eye Joe or the electric slide?
I can do the electric slide for sure. That was fun.
All right, that might have to be a
I did the two-step, video. Though, some, when I was in Oklahoma. So I guess that would have been, those are considered, I mean, the two-step and a slow dance. But I was really bad at it because I couldn't let the other person lead very well.
You're talking about an after-hours honky-tonk? Is that what's going to happen around here?
No, because I don't trust either one of you to know how to two-step. I do not.
I think Dave's got some rhythm.
What? Oh.
He's shaking his head a little bit.
Interesting. Only if we get to do a bowling tournament first.
All right, so bowling and then the winner.
No, wait, it was dodgeball.
Yes, it was dodgeball.
Dodgeball and bowling. I feel like we can do both.
Winner
dodgeball
gets to choose
in the parking lot.
The type of dance.
Winner gets to choose what we do on our social media when we get to 30,000 likes on our Facebook page. I'm telling you, it's coming up, and we do not yet have a consensus about what we're going to do.
All right, Dave, if you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball. Get ready, brother.
Dodge a wrench?
It's a famous quote from the Dodgeball movie.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I missed it. That went right over my head. As you can imagine, lots of things are going over my head this month. 855-212-4227. It's our toll-free line brought to you by Geico with a quick way to save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. The World Series is next year. After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.